Hello, I'm Kevin P. Henry, and this is All the Way Authentic. Recently, I spoke with Sarah Ann, who shared her personal experience as a survivor of trafficking and talked about her role as a CSE survivor advocate and program coordinator at the Seattle Organization of Prostitution Survivors. I'm your host, Kevin P. Henry, and this is All the Way Authentic.
I think knowing people like you is a gift because, well, you know, you're a nice person, but also I think you can inspire other people to overcome adversity, you know, because some people have a life where everything's great and, you know, everything goes pretty smooth, and there's other people. And then I think what happens is people make the assumption, oh, well, you know, my life was easy and all I had to do was go get a job and I went to school. And well, it's not nearly that easy for a lot of people. So,
yeah.
And now you can give back to other survivors. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
So why don't you just start off and tell me a little bit about your personal story?
Okay. I grew up in Seattle. I'm from Seattle. I got into the game at a very young age, into the life at a very young age, probably about 12 years old. I was really, there's a lot of abuse going on in my home. And unfortunately, my mom had a hard time believing it, had a hard time even accepting what was going on, because also she was in a place of trauma and was, you know, in a place of abuse and all that. And so now I'm happy to say that me and my mom have been able to really rebuild our relationship, and she recognizes the things that happened to me. And so that is very possible. So I spent most of my childhood in the game. So like by the age of 14, I had been to probably like 7 different states. Spent my whole majority of my life in the game. You know, it became just very like, that's what I had to do. It like nothing else really mattered. Even when I started to have kids, like I had to take care of my kids. So I went to all that I knew, you know. And then I was able to come across ops at a late age, but I think I was like 36, to an art workshop. And I met with Martha, and she put a paintbrush in my hand. I had never painted before that. And I found out that I had a talent, and that changed it for me. Like, I was like, oh, I'm good at something else. Like, I can do other things. And so it kind of opened up my mind. Like, there's something about putting paint on a blank canvas that is, like, so powerful. And I was able to start to recognize myself and who I really am, and it just went on from there. And so I got my first job at youth care. They were, you know, they were willing to take a chance on a survivor, and I worked at the shelter there. And my dream was to work at ops. Mm-hmm. And I think I interviewed 3 times before I finally got a job here. And I just didn't give up. And ops really gave me a community. Like, I feel like relationships get you in and relationships get you out of the life. And so as a young girl, all I wanted to do was belong to somewhere. You know, I wanted to be a part of something. And if that meant I had to do stuff that wasn't necessarily safe or, you know, any of that stuff, it was like almost worth it, because at least I had somewhere to be. And so coming into ops was like the exact opposite. Now I didn't have to do those things. I was around people that weren't judging me, that weren't shaming me, that understood how hard the life can be. And it woke something in me. It just awakened something in me. Like, I was just like, oh my God, this can be something. I never thought for a million years I would ever get out of the life. Like, I really thought I would die in the game. And now I am the program coordinator at ops. And I started out as an advocate, and then got a promotion for the program coordinator.
And so when you say the life and the game, how would you define that to somebody who hasn't heard those terms before?
Okay, so the life and the game is a term that women use that when you start getting into the life, when you start working as a prostitute or prostituting yourself, or if you get wrapped up with a pimp or something like that, that's what we call that community, is like the life or the game.
So in your current role at ops, how would you, what are some of your duties and some of your goals, and you know, maybe just give me kind of almost like a typical day in the life of at Ops?
I do a lot of outreach. The position started as I was the coordinator for our Game Changers program, which is an economical empowerment program. We are an art-based program, so we do a lot of art at Ops. And so we used Game Changers to teach women how to sell their art at marketplaces. So we used Black Coffee to, you know, their marketplace so women could go and sell their art, and they would get all the money. And they learned how to use Etsy to sell their art, how to be an entrepreneur. Like, those transferable skills are so important. Like, I tell women all the time that are like, I've never had a job, I've never worked. I'm like, okay, well, this is my second job ever. And those transferable skills from when you were in the life, you can transfer them into something positive. So showing women that is so important, and it, like, really, it gives you hope. Like, it makes you think, oh yeah, if I can, you know, hustle up like this, I can take those same skills and use them into something positive. So we change the narrative. We use it to show them that, you know, anything is possible. If you want to do it and you have the right team behind you and you have support, you can do it. That's how the position started. And so I was doing that. And then I have a love for outreach. Outreach is like a big passion of mine. So we put that into my role. So I do a lot of the outreach. I've been doing outreach at the encampments in Burien. I build relationships with community members. So we have built an amazing relationship with the Burien Police Department. They donated backpacks for our back to school barbecue. They helped us with Christmas stuff, like just showing women, like, not all police are bad and not all men are bad. Like, you can have healthy relationships with men, I think is really important to show survivors. And so building those community relationships has been a passion of mine, and it's really worked out really.
That's great.
So that's part of my role. And then when we have emergency situations, like maybe a young mother is in the streets and has a child, I'm able to build the, you know, the gaps and stuff like that. And we're able to house them more quickly, get them in shelters more quickly, because collaboration is everything. Like, if we can all work together, then we can really change the narrative for these victims.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so glad that you mentioned even law enforcement, just because everybody plays a role in helping survivors and trying to address this issue. Because I think sometimes what people do is they think, well, that's got nothing to do with me, and what can I do? And even if you're, whether you're a volunteer or you're a business person or you're a person who maybe just goes out into your community and talks about the resources that are at Ops, you know, a lot of times people don't know that there are resources out there, I think, for them.
And I have loved building this relationship with the police department. Like, I've literally had tea with the police department. I'm like, my life, like, when did this happen? But it's even helped me heal, like, to meet these men that really care about these women and really want to see us thrive. And it's so genuine and it's so real. And it makes a huge difference, like a huge difference.
Yeah. That's great, because I'm thinking that when you're in the life, in the game, that your self-esteem is getting beaten up a lot of times by pimps or by customers or by people who just are trying to infer that, oh, you're, you know, this is all you can do with your life. And if you start to believe that, it can really be, you know, hindering to a person. What are some of the tips that you would give to, it could be parents, it could be just people in the community, in terms of just being more aware that trafficking exists? And if they see something, like maybe they see, you know, an older man with a young woman who looks afraid or something, that this might be a sign that something is going on involving trafficking. What are some tips that you can even give to parents as well? Because sometimes teenage girls are vulnerable to this kind of thing.
Oh, very vulnerable. And I think I'm really glad you asked that question, because I really have been thinking about it. And I think my best advice is make it hard for the groomers to groom. So know who your kids are hanging out with. Like, I think we live in a society today that we want to be careful with our kids or everything, but be nosy. be on their Facebook, know their friends, know their friends' friends, like meet the parents. Like these are really important things. And I think it makes a huge difference. It's harder for a groomer to groom you when you have a strong support system. And I know that can be hard sometimes for parents. They have to work and all this stuff, but really being intentional of knowing who your kids are around, knowing who your kids interact with on social media, that's a big thing. There's nothing wrong with telling your child, I need your password and I'm going to be checking all the time because I love you and I care. And that's, to me, like the biggest thing you could do, because we don't, a groomer or a pimp or anybody like that, they know who to look for. They know they know who's vulnerable. And so if we, you know, even in a community sense, show these groomers, no, we are looking after our kids. We're looking after our girls. We're looking after our sons. And you're not going to be able to do this. And I think that it's very capable of doing that. Like, we can really do that. And I think it makes a big difference. So, like, places like Black Coffee that have internships, you know, where the kids can come work at the coffee shops, like getting your kids involved in stuff like that, and letting them know that there's bad people out there that will lie to you and sell you a dream, and you don't have to go with them. Like, we can be together and we can stay together. Like, me and my mom, like, talk about this a lot, and she talks about now the things that she wishes she would have done, and that's one of the biggest things. Like, you know, if you have a daughter or a son and they tell you, like, somebody's hurting me, somebody's, you know, this is going on, believe them. Like, take action right away. Don't wait, you know, because while you're waiting, that groomer is doing his best to take your child.
Well, and the other thing too is that it doesn't even matter where you live sometimes, because I've heard from people who have, you know, taken their family and moved out of Seattle, for instance, and moved out into the country where it's safe and quiet. And I heard about a trafficking ring happening in Montana one time, you know, out in rural Montana. And you mentioned the internet, and there's so much deception on the internet with, you know, men traffickers posing as teenage boys and, you know, come out and meet me and sneak out of the house. And that's the kind of thing that was going on in certain rural areas. So you're absolutely right. I wanted to ask you about supporting survivors, because sometimes there's this feeling, I think, that, oh, all you got to do is get them out of the life, get them a place to live, and then get them a job, and it's all good. So what are some of the things that you can do to make sure that they're supported and that they heal properly?
I think creating spaces just like OPS is like the perfect thing to do, because it just brings community. Today, a young woman came in here today, and as soon as she came in here, she told me, I feel safe. Like, I feel like nothing's going to happen to me. And being intentional when we do that, you know? So it's the little things, like having our Christmas events, you know, having our support groups, our yoga, our art workshop. Like, that's a place where women can go and breathe for a second. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. I can come here and be with other women just like me and have dinner and laugh and be silly and have some joy. And it's so simple that sometimes it's hard. You know what I mean? Like, people, I think, overthink it. And instead, just remind yourself, how do I want to be treated? How do I want to, you know, what spaces do I want to be in? What makes me feel good? And I don't know, we're coming into a season right now where people are really wanting to help. And I love it. And I think it's because, especially at OPS, we're telling you, you don't have to overthink it. Like, provide dinners, you know, come volunteer, come to our open mic night for survivors, like, do stuff like that. Show up so that we know that people care about us. And that gives people hope, and it makes you more willing to ask for help when you're ready for it.
Are there any other OPS services you'd like to mention before we end this great conversation?
There's a lot of OPS stuff going on.
Well, you could just mention four or five, maybe.
Okay. I think the biggest thing that is going on right now that I absolutely love, you know, when we talk about statistics, like 63% of all the women we serve are women of color. And then when we get donations, we usually only get donations for white-bodied people, you know? So we put a call of action on our website, on our social media, on our website, to get black hair products and stuff like that for the women we serve, because in order for it to be equitable, we have to be able to provide for everybody. And so people have been donating Black hair products and sending them to us. And I absolutely love that. So that everybody gets the same kind of care. So that's something that I'm really proud of the ops for doing. And then we, our poetry night's coming back up. As long as a survivor invites you, you're more than welcome to come. And it's so amazing to hear women's, you know, speak their spoken word. And it's a lot of fun.
That was an interview with Sarah Ann from the Seattle Organization of Prostitution Survivors. You can find out more information about that organization at seattleops.org. I'm Kevin P. Henry, and this has been All the Way Authentic.